manifest you. How many of you have the testimony? You've proved him over and over and over again. And every time you just rested in his word, he came through. It may not have been the way you want it. It may not have been in the timing that you want it. But he always honors his word. Always, always, always. I count it as a privilege and an honor to stand before you today. Thank you. Just a few thoughts that I want to share with you today. In the preface of his book, Rediscovering Faith, Miles Monroe writes this: no man can live beyond his belief. No man can live beyond his belief. The greatest loss in life is the loss of belief. And because hope is connected to belief, when we lose hope, it can be tragic. They are connected. I believe for that thing that I am hoping for. But when I have lost hope, when I've lost belief, it becomes challenging. The greatest challenge of life, of daily life, is the life of the greatest challenge in life is to believe in the midst of life itself. Now, we're in the middle of a whole lot of stuff going on, and before pandemic and all this other stuff hit, some of us were already overwhelmed. All kinds of things going on in our world, and now add this, shutdown, people losing their jobs, I'm working from home, I got trying to teach my kids from home, and that just adds another layer. And in that kind of daily life pressure, we have a difficulty sometimes just holding on to faith. Miles Monroe continues to say this: the greatest challenge in daily life is that life is too daily. It just goes on. So we're coming up and we're saying, I just need a break. I just need a break. Can I just have a break? Can I come up for air? Can I just have a break? And life just rolls on. And it makes it so easy for us to get discouraged. And it makes it so easy for us to kind of wallow in our disappointments. And sometimes it becomes so dark in our world that we can't see the light that's pointing to that God is shining on us. But I just want to encourage you today with a familiar story, a familiar passage that is in Mark 9. I don't know about you, but I've had those moments in my life when it's like, I don't want to hear another prophetic word. I don't want to sing another song. I don't want to nothing, because I'm having a really difficult time right now believing you. Am I the only one that's ever been in that place? Maybe I'm just preaching to myself today. I have had those moments, and not that terribly long ago, when it was like, don't give me another prophetic word. I'm prophetic word up to here. And yet, there is this place that God is calling us to rest in and to live in, even when the discouragement and the disappointment, and you're not seeing it, and you're praying, and you're giving, and you're not seeing the return, and you're giving, and you're giving, and you're giving, and it seems like nothing is happening, and you're confessing the word, and you're decreeing, and you're declaring, and nothing seems to be happening. And you just want to sit down and eat a half gallon of gelato. There's hope. So Mark 9, I'm going to move quickly. Our focus is going to be on verses 21 through 24. So let me kind of set the scene of what's going on in Mark 9. Jesus has taken Peter, James, and John up on the mountain, and they've had this wonderful time, this transfiguration. Jesus metamorphoses right in front of them, and they get to see who he truly is, his true nature. And then Moses appears, and Elijah appears, and there's a wonderful thing, and Peter's like, we should just build 3 tabernacles and stay here. And God speaks and he says, this is my beloved son, hear him. While that's going on, they're having this wonderful encounter up on a mountain. There's a man with a son who's been afflicted with an unclean spirit. And he is going to take his son to Jesus. But Jesus isn't there. So he takes him to his disciples. And he says, he's got this unclean spirit. Can you cast it out? And they can't do it. And then there becomes this dispute, this argument between the scribes and the disciples. And then when Jesus comes down, he's like, what are you arguing about? And the man says, I brought my son to you and took him to your disciples and they couldn't heal him. And Jesus looks around and he says, oh, faithless generation. How long will I bear with you? And then he says, bring the boy to me. And as soon as they brought the boy before Jesus, the unclean spirit in him causes him to convulse and he's rolling and wallowing on the ground and he's foaming at the mouth. And you would think in that moment that Jesus would just cast out the spirit. You would think. And I just loved how Jesus operates sometimes. So when we pick up in 21, here we've got this crowd, we've got this father who is at his wit's end, he's desperate. This is his last resort. He's probably spent every resource that he has to try to get help for his son, and no one has been able to help him. He brings it to the disciples who should be able to help him because they've been working with Jesus, they've been his understudies, they've been participating in miracles with him all of this time, and they can't cast it out. And now I'm standing in the face of Jesus. My son is convulsing right in front of him. And Jesus says, so, hey, bruh, how long has he been doing this? What? We got time for conversations now? Do you see what's happening to my son? But in this moment, Jesus never asked irrelevant questions. Jesus probably knew how long he'd been afflicted. But he has to turn this man's faith to the right place. In spite of everything. Now, the word in the Greek for convulsing, they suggested it's an intense word that this means that this is probably the worst act that this boy has ever had. This father is watching his son go through one of the worst episodes that he's ever seen before. And Jesus is asking questions. How long has he been doing this? So the son says, the father says, from childhood, I'm at verse 21, from childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into water to destroy him. And then he says this, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, this father has watched. We don't know how old the son is now, but when he says since his childhood, some time has passed. So he's been watching this year after year after year after year after year after year with no release, no help. And now he's looking at him. He's getting even worse. And he says, I'm at my wit's end, God. If you can do anything, please have compassion on us. And then Jesus says, and it doesn't read quite this way the way it is in the Greek and the English. Jesus says, can you do anything? No, can you? It's not a question of can I. Jesus is saying, the question isn't if I can. The question is, can you believe? The question isn't can I. But can you believe even in this moment? Because nothing is impossible to those who believe. Can you believe? And then the father says, he cries out immediately and says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. My message is help my unbelief, finding faith to shine in this season. Now, we see here a lot of things going on, and for time's sake, I'll just kind of condense some things. There are a lot of reasons, and I talked to a couple of people this week, and the same thing seemed to arise in these conversations. There was this discouragement, this disappointment. I trusted God, and it didn't turn out the way I thought it would. I don't know if I can trust him anymore. I've started taking things into my own hands because I don't know what else to do. He's not coming through for me. Two different people saved for years and years and years, loving God and finding themselves in this season where he's not coming through for me. And now I don't know what to believe. I don't know if I can believe that he will. So the question isn't whether the man believed that God could, because obviously he believed Jesus could do it. He brought his son to him. But there's always there's this part. After years of seeing it and not getting any help, there's this of years and years and years of taking him this place and taking him this place with the hope that somebody can help and not getting any help, that says, I want to believe with all of me, but I'm having a hard time. And I don't know if any of you have ever been there, and you might be there now. I know some of you are there now where you're just struggling. God, I believe you can, but I need you to help me know that you'll do it for me. There's a lot of reasons why people become discouraged. Now let's look at this situation. In Mark 20, we find out, and I've already said that this condition has persisted for a long time. The son has been in this condition since childhood. So when we see things over and over and over again, it causes discouragement and disappointment. Sometimes the people that we thought could help, that we thought should help, can't. Either they just can't help or they're not there. And that adds another layer of disappointment. So we see in Mark 9:17, he brought it to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't do anything. And there are times when we pray, and one person shared this with me this week and said, I asked God for this, and things just got worse. The man brought his son, and this is the worst convulsion he's ever had right before Jesus. Have you ever asked God for something, believed God for something, and all of a sudden everything just looks like it went south? It got exponentially worse. That can cause discouragement and disappointment. Sometimes when we have tried something and we've tried it and it didn't seem to work, and I've tried this and it didn't seem to work, we're just a little leery of trying to get our hopes up. So that adds to a layer. I did this before. It didn't work then. How can I be sure it's going to work now? I stepped down in faith before thinking it was God, and it didn't work. Things only got worse. I'm not sure. I want to get my hopes up now and just face another disappointment. It didn't happen when he thought it should. How he thought it should. It was in God's timing. Sometimes we get discouraged because God is not on our timetable. That's just a reality. He's not on our timetable. And when he doesn't move the way we think he should move, when we think he should move, doubt and disbelief, unbelief can start to kind of well up in us. God has a word for anybody today who finds himself in this place of discouragement, and they find themselves in one of those moments of, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. One translation puts it this way. Anita, can you find those verses in the NIV for me? Thank you. One translation says this: Lord, I believe. So if there is anything you can do, please do it, because we desperately need your help. Jesus said, it's not a question of whether I can do anything. Rather, the question is whether you can believe. And the Father says, without thought, he cries out, I do believe with part of me. Help me believe with the other part. One translation says, I do believe, but help me with my weak faith. And the NIV, do you have that up there? I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. And in that moment, Jesus cast out the demon. One of the things that we have to understand, and it's been alluded to throughout this morning, is that you got an enemy, and he is dead set on stopping you. And if we don't recognize this, Paul tells us in Corinthians, we are not ignorant of his schemes. We're not ignorant of his devices. We have to know when he is on attack. And we got to counter that. You've got to recognize he doesn't want the kingdom to advance. He doesn't want you stepping in purpose and destiny. He doesn't want to fulfill your kingdom assignment. So anything that he can do to get you off course and to get you discouraged and get you to just want to sit down, he's going to do. But listen, right before the cross, Jesus says to Peter, Satan has desired to sift you. And he said to sift you all. So it wasn't just Peter he was trying to sift. And can you know, y'all included in that all? He has a desire to sift you like wheat. If he can get your faith, if he can get you to just sit down and wallow in doubt, he's got you. But then Jesus says to Peter, but I've prayed for you. How many of you know, if you got Jesus praying for you, that's a done deal. It's a done deal. But always, what I'm always amazed at in this passage is Jesus didn't pray, you won't betray me. He didn't pray, you won't go through hard times. He didn't pray any of those kind of things that I would think that's what I need prayer for. You're telling me I'm about to betray you? I need you to pray that I don't, because I love you too much. And Jesus said, I pray that your faith fail not. That your faith fail not. And Jesus' prayers are always answered. So no matter where you find yourself, you got to recognize in heaven, your faith will not fail. Just want to share a couple of other passages and then some things that we can do in the practical and the spirit that will help us fight the good fight of faith and come to this place where our faith is strong and we are able to believe with joyful expectation. I want to read this this statement. And it simply says this. It says, faith does not permanently displace fear. It's what we rely on to overcome our feelings of fear and inadequacy. So I know that there are people who, when they start feeling this thing that I'm having a hard time believing God, and you've been saved for a long time, and then you get a little shameful because I shouldn't be feeling that way because God has not given me a spirit of fear, and I know all the scriptures, and I can quote all the scriptures, and I only have a head knowledge of the scriptures, so that doesn't really help a whole lot until it gets into my, and then we don't want to tell anybody I'm struggling. But at some point in everybody's life, we have a Lord, I believe, help my unbelief moment. And you have to acknowledge that's where you are. Be willing to acknowledge faith helps you overcome the feelings, but it doesn't totally eradicate it. It's going to try to creep in. It's going to try to creep in. Faith is the reliance you have on the words and intentions of another. It's the reliance that we have on the words and the intentions of God. And the Bible tells us that his intentions towards us are always good. His word tells us that his word cannot fail. Faith is based solely on your relationship with God. And sometimes the problem is we have faith in faith, but we don't have faith in God. We have faith in our faith, but it's not always in God. Faith is what you fully expect God to do on your behalf. True faith is the courage to act with only the assurance that the one you have placed your faith in will do what is best for you. Not faith in my faith. Not faith in my rituals. Not faith in my ability to quote scripture. But faith in God. Faith in God. Turn in your Bibles. Most of you don't. Or find in your Bibles this passage. Turn to Hebrews with me quickly. We're going to wrap this up. Hebrews 6, this is just a word of encouragement for you today. Hebrews 6 says, having said that, beloved, we are fully convinced that there are more beautiful and excellent things which flow from your salvation. There are things that you can expect, beautiful things that God has for you because you are now his child. For God, the faithful one, is not unfair. How can he forget the work you've done for him? He remembers the love you demonstrate as you continually serve his beloved ones for the glory of his name. But we long to see you passionately advance until the end and you find your hope fulfilled. So don't allow your hearts to grow dull or lose your enthusiasm, and follow the example of those who fully received what God has promised because of their strong faith and patient endurance. Now I'm reading from the Passion Translation right now. Now when God made a promise to Abraham, since there was no greater than himself, he swore an oath on his mighty integrity to keep the promise as sure as God exists. So he said, have no doubt, I promise to bless you over and over and give you a son and multiply you without measure. So Abraham waited patiently in faith. Another passage in Hebrews says, you have need of endurance. You have need of endurance, but there is grace to endure. God is not slack concerning his promises towards us. And he's just saying today, if you can just receive the grace to endure a little while longer, I'm going to come through for you in a way that you have never imagined before. But you can't shrink back. Hebrews 10:35 says, don't cast away your confidence. You got to tell your neighbor, don't cast away your confidence in God and the things that he has promised you. He's going to do what he said he's going to do. Just hold on. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how long you've been in this situation. I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care what the governor says. I don't care what the government says. I don't care what media says. I don't care what my body is trying to tell me. I don't care about any of that. All I know is what God told me. I got a promise. I've got a promise, and I'm not going to be moved from it. I'm going to stand I'm going to stand until I see it fulfilled or until God tells me otherwise. Because God has the final say. God has the final say. Your circumstances don't have the final say. Media doesn't have the final say. Your bank account doesn't have the final say. What's going on in your body doesn't have the final say. COVID-19 doesn't have the final say. God has the final say. And he's saying, stand, stand, stand. You will see what I have promised you. Just stand firm. And one of the ways, it's almost out of time, that we do that often is, one, I said, you got to just recognize where you are and admit it first to God. And if you need some help, you having a hard time believing, you better get some help. Find somebody that can believe with you, who can speak faith into you, who can encourage you. Find a place of worship. In that place of worship, you know what worship does? It kind of disarms us. Our defenses are down. And it enables us to see God as he truly is. If we spend our time looking at the circumstances but not at God, guess who wins? But when we can get into that place of worship, which is just you and God, and the darkness starts to dissipate, and you can see his face clearly, and he's whispering to you, just come up a little higher. Arise, my love, come away. It's a new day. And I promised you, and I do not go back on my word. My word will, I will accomplish what I said it to do. My word will accomplish what I sent it to do. You can count on that. So just hold on. So when it looks like it's going the other way, just say, God, you promised. God, you said. God, you promised. And I may be having a hard time right now, but I'm not going to stay here because you promised. You promised. And I believe you. I believe you. If you are in that place, man, I didn't get through all of this, but it's okay. It's one more point. You got to rehearse your history with God. Everybody in here's got a history. Many of you watching on Facebook have a history with God. Rehearse your history. What have you already seen him do? He hasn't stopped. He's the same. Rehearse your history. Rehearse the promises. What has he said to you? Declare and decree. You know, one of the things about being in this place of darkness is that you just really feel like, I don't feel like worshiping, I don't feel like reading, I don't feel like, I just don't. But it's like what happens with our physical body. We get tired and we know I need to exercise so I can get energy, but your body is saying you're too tired to exercise to get what you really need. And so sometimes you just got to push through. So you're sitting in the chair thinking, I'm just going to go sleep. I've got the remote in my hand. I'm just going to. And then something says, no, I'm going to get up. I'm going to get up. I'm going to get up. I'm going to get on the bike. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to climb. I'm going to lift some weights. I'm going to do something. Because I got to get my energy back. I got to get my strength back. Because the more I give in to the feeling, the more it saps me. Just like the more I give in to the desire not to exercise, the worse the body gets. And it's the same with our spirit. We got to exercise that thing. We got to say, I don't care what I feel like. I don't care what's happened today. I don't care that it looks like chaos in my home. I don't care that my kids seem crazy. I don't care that I just got a zero or minus in my checking account. I don't care. I'm going to get up. I'm going to give God his honor. I'm going to decree and declare his word. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand until it happens, because I know God is not a man that he should lie. And he made me some promises. I got a promise. Sean, I got a promise. Got a lot of promises. Years of promises that I haven't seen come to pass. And it's so easy to say, well, maybe I missed that. And God is saying, for somebody, no. You haven't missed it. Believe me one more time. You haven't missed it. Believe me one more time. A few of us were in Dallas a few years ago with Apostle, many years ago, and the message was, the deal still on. And some of you need to know, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how much you messed up, the bad choices that you made. God is saying, the deal is still on. And if you can't think of anything else, I'm standing on your promise, God, because you said the deal is still on. Now I'm going to ask everyone to just stand. And if you find your place specifically in a place where it is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. The minute the Father prayed that prayer, Jesus responded. So maybe you just need to say, Lord, I believe. And that verb in the Greek means it's a continual action. I'm asking you to do something continually. Keep helping my unbelief. Keep helping my unbelief. Keep helping my unbelief. Keep strengthening my faith. Help me overcome my weakness in faith. Keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. Every day I need you to continue. I can't believe without you. Faith begins and ends with you, God. So I'm relying on you and your grace to help me in this moment of unbelief so that I can have joyful expectation. Just lift our hands and receive the grace of God.